Good News in the Morning is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries and has been broadcast weekly since 1999. Do visit our website, gncm.ca. Here, you will find podcasts of the programs and introductions to the Ottawa pastors who deliver the good news to growing numbers of listeners worldwide. They appreciate and need your regular prayers. Our heartfelt thanks to all those who support us financially. And now, here is today's presentation.
I want to speak about contagious things. And I know you've probably heard all you want to hear about contagion in the last few months. But it is important to remember that not all things that are contagious are bad things. The Sunday afternoon program on CHRI, Keeping the Faith, has an expression that they use regularly called encouragement is contagious, and encouraging us to have contagious encouragement. And have you noticed that? That if somebody comes and encourages you, it puts a spirit of encouragement into you. Your attitude changes, and you're far more likely to encourage somebody else if you've been encouraged. Encouragement is contagious. We've learned to our chagrin that harmony is contagious. I mean, it's contagious in two senses in these days. We're worried as we talk about reopening the church. We're worried because provincial guidelines don't allow us to sing indoors as a group, because when we sing, we spread a lot of droplets. We speak moistly, as we like to say in Canada, and we have the danger of spreading the COVID-19 disease and perhaps flus and colds as well. But normally, we think of harmony as being contagious because when people start singing, other people want to join in. A lot of people might say, oh, I can't sing very well and whatever, but when they hear other people singing, you'll see them humming along. They'll try not to disturb if they're a little uncomfortable with their voice, they'll try not to disturb everybody else, but they will sing. I remember a fellow who had just come to Christ after many years of being steadfastly stubborn about not being in church and not being a Christian. And he started, with the joy of the gospel, he started singing in the shower. He'd sing gospel songs in the shower, and his wife would be in the bedroom going just amazed that what's going on with her husband, that he started to sing gospel songs in the shower. But you can imagine her encouragement as she saw his life transformed and how the joy that he was feeling became her joy as well. Things are contagious. Some very good things are contagious. Laughter is contagious. I know, in both senses, again, we have to be careful. If we're laughing, laugh into your elbow, I guess. I don't know. But when people start laughing, other people start laughing too. Have you ever played Chuckle Belly? We used to play that at camp. I'm not sure whether we'd be allowed to anymore, but you used to lie down, and every person would lie down so their head was sitting on somebody else's belly. And the person at the front of the line would start going, ha, 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 ha. And before long, the whole line was laughing uproariously as was this kind of awkwardness and the strangeness and the funniness of just laughing together. Okay, so we were a little strange when we were kids, but it was contagious, I tell you. There are some great things that are contagious, and of course, the gospel of Jesus Christ is contagious. The gospel of Jesus Christ has been one of the most contagious things in all of history. It's really amazing. When you think about it, Jesus came to earth, and he was part of a nation that was one of the smaller nations on earth, not really that important. It had been conquered repeatedly by this nation and that nation over the course of history, back and forth, and God preserved them through all that, and God was preparing them to be the source of a message that would go to all the nations. But Jesus was there in that little nation, and he had 12 fairly reliable disciples. Okay, 11 fairly By the time he was hanging on the cross, he had maybe one reliable disciple. John was close by when he went to trial, and John was close by when he went to the cross. But the other 11, Judas had betrayed him, and then instead of waiting in repentance and receiving the forgiveness of Christ, Judas went and killed himself. Peter went after Jesus at the beginning and then denied him because he was afraid that he was going to get in the same trouble Jesus was in. And later he repented and was sorrowful, but went to Jesus for forgiveness in the end. And then the other disciples, most of them just scattered, just ran off. John followed Peter. John and Peter went to the trial, near the trial. John was closer. He didn't deny Jesus. He was there at the cross with many of the women who were disciples as well. But such a small start, the leader of the movement dying. And yet, from that small start came a message that filled the city of Jerusalem within a few weeks. It filled Judea and spread to Samaria and went to the nations and the ends of the earth, and it's still spreading today. I just want to remind you that there's although Pentecost is seen as such an amazing day when 3,500 people came to Jesus because the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples and they preached to a crowd in Jerusalem. And 3,000 people is an amazing number of people to make a decision, especially when the body of disciples was maybe at that time 500 who had seen Jesus risen from the dead. 3,000, that's extraordinary growth. But when you look at the growth of the church throughout the world, Pentecost is happening moment after moment, day after day. Thousands of people being added to the membership of the body of Christ every hour. It's really astounding. It's an amazing time because the spread of the gospel is contagious. Why is it contagious? And how is it contagious? We've learned a lot about not spreading things recently. We've learned we need to wash our hands and that will stop things from spreading. Ironically, the gospel talks about washing our hands in order to spread the gospel. Did you know that? It says that the Lord delights in those who have clean hands and a pure heart. See, the gospel doesn't spread by dirt, but by good deeds. The gospel spreads by purity and love, not by nastiness and meanness. And so the day that the one of the early days of the pandemic, the daily verse in YouVersion, the Bible app that you can have on your phone, in YouVersion, they updated the daily verse. They changed it from what was planned, and they put the passage from James chapter 4, verse 8, where it said, "Wash your hands, you sinners, and turn your hearts towards God." That was a great verse for that day. But we need to get the nastiness of life out of our life. We need to get our meanness, our sinfulness, our selfishness out of the way. We need to clean our hands in order to share the gospel. Because we don't want to share the contagion of the world. We want to share the pure love and grace of Christ. So wash your hands. Keep on washing your hands. Stop the spread of COVID-19 by literally washing your hands. But figuratively, enhance the spread of the gospel by keeping your hands clean. Don't engage in the sinful and hurtful things of the world. Instead, engage in the pure and loving works of God. So spreading the gospel, clean hands. The gospel, like harmony, can be spread through word of mouth. And in fact, physical distancing doesn't have a big impact on the spread of the gospel. Ever since there has been an opportunity to share the gospel, Peter, when he stood on the balcony in the upper room and spoke to the crowds that were gathered, there were 3,000 people, and they weren't within 6 feet of him, at least not all of them. But he was able to spread the gospel through the word of preaching. And it says in the scripture, you cannot spread the gospel without the word of preaching. How shall they hear? Because they need to hear in order to believe the word. And so by saying the truth of God, we spread the gospel. And we've discovered through the growth of technology that I understand that George Whitefield, a preacher in England's 17th or 18th century, he could stand and preach with such a booming voice that people a quarter of a mile away could understand his words. Amazing. Of course, now we've got amplification systems and you can have a stadium filled with a million people and hear the word. And early on, when radio was discovered, it was such a great discovery for Christians. Partly because, you know, some people scoffed at the idea of a voice from heaven that couldn't be heard, or a signal from God that couldn't be detected. And all of a sudden we discovered there were signals all over in the radio frequency, and that you could communicate at long distances. And not only did that help Christians give a metaphor for how we could pray to God and he could hear us, and how he could speak to us through an inward voice, but also it gave us a medium to take the gospel far and beyond, so that radio stations broadcast the good news over miles and miles. Today, Voice of the Martyrs and other ministries are using the radio and television and the internet to reach into countries where the gospel has been forbidden. And so the border can't stop the spread of the gospel. Spreading the gospel by word of mouth, spreading the gospel by physical closeness, proximity. I got to say that, like any contagious thing, the gospel is better spread in physical proximity. When somebody can feel the loving touch of a supportive hand, when you can sit down beside someone who's begging for money on the street corner, sit down and share a coffee with them and spend some time close to them when people have been avoiding them so much. That is a powerful way of spreading the love of Christ. When you can reach out, and some people like hugs, some people don't, but some people really need those hugs sometimes. And when you can reach out and your physical presence can be an important part of spreading the gospel. Remember that Jesus used physical presence. He came as a physical, incarnate human being. And he reached out and not just healed, he did heal people from a distance, but most of the time that he made sure they knew that it was the love of God that was healing them by a touch of his hand, by lifting up of somebody who was down, in some way to show them that they were loved by God through physical proximity. And so it's tough right now for us to share the gospel that way, except within our bubbles. But we still have to remember that when we have the chance, when we're free to do so again, we can't pretend that the gospel can exist without physical proximity. We're being given grace to prosper in this time when we have to be distant, but boy, we're sure looking forward to the day when we can have that normal human contact again. The gospel is spread in so many ways, and the contagiousness of the gospel goes beyond what we do for the sake of the gospel. That's, to me, really good news. Has anybody felt that they are a little bit inadequate when it comes to sharing the gospel with other people? Don't feel like you have the right words? You don't feel like you have the confidence to even do the right deeds? It's good to know that the gospel is not just a matter of human words or human deeds. The gospel is spread by the Holy Spirit of God, and it doesn't respect physical distances. It doesn't respect the boundaries that people put between each other. It doesn't respect boundaries of class or race or education or background or language. In fact, the Holy Spirit gave the gift of tongues to the church so that the gospel could be spread to every nation without the barrier of language getting in the way. The gospel reaches out through the power of the Holy Spirit, so that Paul was able to say, I didn't come to you with eloquent words or persuasive wisdom. What I came to you with was the demonstration of the power of the gospel. The Holy Spirit was doing something. And the Holy Spirit still does something today. There's a limit to how far a disease can spread, depending on whether it's airborne or on surfaces or droplets. Boy, do we know so much more about this stuff than we ever wanted to know. But there's no limit to the distance that can be crossed by the Holy Spirit. There's no limit to the way that its healing and restoring power can come into the darkest corner of the soul. There's no limit. There's no person that is so far removed from God that the Holy Spirit can't reach them. It's wonderful to know, especially for those who are struggling to know God right now. I sometimes wish that there wasn't this incubation period for the gospel. That some people hear the gospel and they struggle to understand it, they struggle to believe it, they struggle to know the presence of God. I feel for you. I wish there wasn't this incubation period, but somehow God uses that incubation period for his good purposes. So someone may be struggling for a few days. Somebody may be struggling for a few years. Some of you may have been struggling for a long, long time. But when you come to faith, it will be a demonstration that there is no barrier that Jesus cannot cross. When we look at the world and we look at diseases, we see that some people are immune to this disease or that disease. And some people have become resistant to the gospel. I think even Christians, yes, you and me, sometimes have pockets of resistance in our souls. Whether we're afraid of letting God see something that we try to keep hidden, let me say, it's kind of foolish because God already knows. Or whether we're afraid that we just don't want to let go of something that we've counted as precious, that we suspect God doesn't want in our lives. We develop resistance and we say, no, this far, God, but no farther. But other people have a resistance because of bad experiences in the past. Others have resistance that's simply about the sin in their lives. They don't want to give up something, or they don't believe they can give up something. And so they feel that they're left on the outside. There's one kind of resistance that we in the church have to deal with. I remember reading in the United Church Observer probably 40 or more years ago. It was before I was a minister, before I think even I was a Christian. But I read this little quip in the United Church Observer that said, many of us have become vaccinated Christians. We've been exposed so long to a weakened and watered down version of the gospel that we're immune to the real thing. I remember when I did become a Christian in my home church, and some of the people who might have fit somewhere towards the vaccinated Christian line of thinking, they saw a whole bunch of us youth becoming very, very passionate Christians, really seeking God with our lives. And they said, don't worry, it's a phase, it'll pass. I won't name them, but to a few of those people, I'd like to say, the phase hasn't passed yet. You see, there is a power to the gospel that many people in the church have never experienced. There is a power to transform our lives. And the gospel is still eroding your resistance, breaking down your resistance to it so that it can come to full flower in you. We have an immune system that's out of whack and is resisting the glory and grace of God while allowing many infections of malice and bitterness and selfishness into our souls. We need a repair of our immune system so the contagious gospel can fill us fully and deeply. And so that we won't say, oh, enough of the gospel. I want something else instead. We need to be filled with the power and the grace of the Holy Spirit. But this is about the contagiousness of the gospel. And I do believe that the more fully you are infected with the gospel, the more fully your life is transformed by the Holy Spirit, the more fully that your whole bearing displays the symptoms of a relationship with Jesus Christ, the more symptomatic you are, the better you'll be able to share that gospel with others. So let there be a contagious blessing in your life. Let the work of God be contagious. When God introduces himself to Abraham, he says to Abraham, I am going to bless you, Abraham, and I'm going to make you into a blessing so that through you all the nations of the earth might be blessed. I want to tell you that God is making the same promise to everyone that will receive Jesus or that has received Jesus. I am going to bless you. And I'm going to make you into a blessing so that through you, all the nations of the earth, all the peoples of the earth may be blessed. Let's get contagious. Let's share the love of Christ, the salvation for which so many souls are in desperate need. Let us pray. Gracious God, to you we pray as the Savior of our souls. And we thank you that through coming and dwelling in us, you have rid our lives of so much sin and so much disease. We pray that you would continue the work you've begun in us, and that you would spread this work through us and through all your servants, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, into all the world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in. If you have been blessed and encouraged, do tell your friends about this program. Feel free to send in questions and comments via the website. And be sure to share your good news if you have come to faith through listening. But the program on its own is not enough. Don't forget to join other Christians in worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. Be part of the movement that is affecting lives worldwide. May you come to know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deeply within your heart, and may you feel our Heavenly Father surrounding you with his constant, abiding, accompanying love.